Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago, and I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
Gary Webb. I am an investigative journalist, and in 1996, I wrote a series of stories entitled Dark Alliance, which was about CIA involvement in drug trafficking.
Are you a man who once said death smiles at us all? All a man can do is smile back.
We've all been skull and bone, the secret society.
It's so sick that we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go on.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the rest.
Number 322?
I sad duty to report this afternoon that my friend and colleague, Tim Russert, collapsed and died early this afternoon.
I may die in this cell tonight or in the arena tomorrow. I am a slave. What possible difference can I make?
And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know.
What the fuck is up? Welcome to another Already Dead, your favorite weekly conspiracy call-in variety show. This is Jose Galison, and as always, we have our co-host, Austin Picard, and today's guest, Sam Tripoli.
Very great intro, aggressive, I like it.
Hell yeah. We do like to ask our guests their thoughts on that intro. That was from @thethinline123. He made that edit on Twitter. I thought it was great for the show. I think it bangs.
It bangs. The guests. It bangs. It's aggressively bangs. I like it a lot. I'm in.
Sets
I'm all about it. I'm in it to win it. Sorry, guys. I'm in it to win it. What is going on with this? Yeah, I loved it, dude. It was great. Got a little loud there, but that's okay. We're all about that. We're all about hanging and banging here.
Hell yeah.
Being a young Christian warriors. That's what we're doing here.
Hell yeah.
We dig it. It sets the energy. So we're happy to have you here. Austin particularly. This has been a serendipitous day for him. We were actually talking this morning. Me and him did a morning stream.
Dan, you guys are aggressive with your streams. You're streaming all the time, which is
streaming.
How you make it. How you make it big. You stream.
Hell yeah. And we had Austin. I don't know. I'll pass it off to you so you can explain why. I mean, you've told this on the show, but maybe it didn't really click for me until you mentioned it today, right. How this is so serendipitous for you.
I just thought it's kind of surreal for me because, honestly, my wife, she just mentioned the fact that, like, we're only 3 days away from basically the anniversary of my first interview ever, which was on Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli. And we talked about Ruby Ridge, right? And I really started my podcast, like, I don't know, 6 months prior to that, I think. It was like March or April of that year. And, yeah, I reached out to two people specifically, and it was Sam Tripoli and Jose Galison. and so the fact that within a year's time since you gave me the opportunity of really coming on Tinfoil, right? Like the only two individuals that I really kind of, you guys resonated with me, I would say, more so than the rest. And so for some strange reason, whether it's, you know, recognizing synchronistic aspects of, right. I don't know. It's also like a very obvious to me that something I value more than anything is genuine authenticity and knowing that someone's intentions are pure and their heart's in the right place. And I think that, you know, the moment that you insult your audience's intelligence or something, you know, to that effect, at least speaking from my point of view, I run away screaming basically anytime someone does that and I'm tuning in and listening. And so you are really just the perfect example, right? Of, and the reason why I admire you is the fact that you have, you're willing to have these open-minded conversations, and they do tend to wander into dangerous territory because you're willing to, like I said, speculate, but with an open mind, right? And in an honest way. And I think as long as that's your approach, you're never going to end up in this, you know, corrupt, sadistic conclusion where you fall into the trap that's been laid for you, and right, and you facilitate some sort of, you know, just oppressive narrative, whatever the case is. But so to keep, I'm sorry, I'm not, I don't mean to wax poetic, but
you,
I swear,
Kamala
to God,
there,
like,
for a second,
I love it, bro.
This means
just
the world
saying words.
To me.
And we are like, unburdened what by what has been, brother, and that's how we do it. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. I appreciate that. That is a big part of the show. What I like to do, you know, I take a lot of pride in that. My show isn't guest driven in the sense of like having to have big names, but it's like interesting people driven. And that's why you can have people like you who is brand new to podcasting, or someone like the Human Vibration. That's just, I think, I don't even know how many followers she had when I had her on the talk, JonBenet Ramsey and stuff like that. Right. And that's kind of what I like about the show. It's not like meant to have all these like super huge names, and I get the super huge names bring a lot of viewers, but I like to have interesting conversations. And even though I think at some point it could be a detriment to the show itself, I like to bring other podcasts on. Right. You know, it's like I would love to know how many people I lost because I showed them more interesting people. And which is fine. That's kind of how it goes. You got to pay it forward. You know, I always say my show wouldn't be where it was if it wasn't for three of my friends, Eddie Bravo, Doug Stanhope, and Duncan Trussell. They all came on very early on the show. They did swap cast with me. They just appeared with me. So I was very lucky in that sense. So I like to pay it forward and help other people, because the more of us there are, the less likely they are to be able to censor everything. So right. I'm happy about that. When you came on, I knew you were really good at what you do, and you had a very bright future, and you did it. Thank, dude. So I'm very excited to see where you've been, how far you've come.
Thank you.
Well, here we are now doing a podcast together. I think now you're obligated to join us. You have to pick up another podcast, I think.
Yeah, let's go. All of them.
Another one to the
as
list.
As many as possible. Let's go.
It's been a while since we've talked. In the meantime, you've sort of, in a certain sense, ushered in the Antichrist. Is maybe a way that you could look at it.
How did I do that?
Oh, you were the well, it's a joke, since obviously now it's I've already had to explain probably like four times now to like friends or family that are like more normie of like, hey, who do you have on your show? And you're like, oh, I have the guy who was on Rogan right before Trump. And so obviously he's playing off that. We have a super chat. Oh, Christian Warriors and Dangerous Retards, $50 from Meat Cavern. That is a Nephilim Death Squad reference there with Dangerous Retards. So
Dangerous
nice.
Retards are the best name for a fan base I've ever heard in my life.
Yep, that's their that's what they're calling their people, Dangerous Retards over.
They're trying to spell the N-word in your chats, and people just keep commenting, so it doesn't. So this guy keeps trying, and he just can't get it done. He's trying. Never give up, buddy. Never give up. Yeah, it's crazy to be on there the same day. You know, I do feel blessed because I'm going to be Eskimo brothers with this guy forever, which is fun. I'm a trivia question, which is great. And yeah, it's just a blessing to get on the show and try to see what I can get Rogan to listen to, which is always my goal. It's like, what weird shit can I get him to buy into, hear about, you know? And he's a really great guy for, he knows how to keep that train on track. So you kind of got to go with it.
Which is kind of what I think me and Austin wanted to make use of our time with you today, is to introduce some things to you. And maybe you've already covered these things before, but we know the kind of people you talk to, that these are things we might end up pushing out into the ether just from talking to you. And so there were a few things. I think probably maybe one of the best things to start off with, and this kind of ties into Trump and stuff. Me and Austin were talking about this morning. And this isn't exactly what we wanted to go into, but I did want to get your thought on like Trump appointments and stuff, and like particularly Matt Gaetz. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about me, and at least me and Austin both are very suspicious of this guy. He's the guy who like they carted out as the one who was like the one who had the, initially had the Iran angle for the Trump assassination stuff. He was the one who's like, somebody from the intel community told me this, and like, but it's like super secret, so I can't tell you, but like, take my word for it. He was that guy who carted out. But supposedly he hasn't taken any money from AIPAC. There is like weird, we were following the breadcrumbs today, going into some weird tie-ins between the Proud Boy January 6th stuff, which somehow ties into some weird blackmail extortion attempt against Matt Gaetz, which I don't know if you've gone into that.
Well, so Matt Gaetz is like, gets really deep too. There's some shit with his, when he was in college, that's always like interesting. Those stories, it's interesting, man.
Yeah, that's, I don't know what, I guess your thoughts generally on kind of what the feeling of the Trump administration is around. And then I guess Gaetz is what I'm kind of interested in, like what to make of that. I can't tell if he's friend or foe or some weird combination thereof. It's hard to get a read on him because he does seem, I don't know, he seems to be a smooth operator, and sometimes he seems too good to be true. And he doesn't always perform like somebody like a Massey or somebody does, where they're like always good. There's times where it's like certain entities get involved and the Gaetzes of the world back down a little bit, and then they play the political game. So it makes you wonder, is this a political guy? Is he ideological? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I am 52 years old and I have yet to not be let down by politicians. Yep. So I always say this, I'm treating Trump's administration and second administration like a Raiders football season. You know, go into it with hopes of winning the Super Bowl and then fully expect to go off the tracks within 3 weeks of the season, you know. So that's kind of where I am with that. I make no illusions. You know, it's expect the worst, hope for the best. And, you know, I'm not surprised by the heavy Zionist cabinet when you take $100 million from a fucking full-blown Zionist who openly, you know, her husband was instrumental, in my humble opinion, in the Vegas shooting.
Absolutely.
You know, and that what that was going to usher in, what that involved. And then Trump raises $300 million for his campaign. A third of that comes from one woman. And, you know, so I'm not surprised by any of this. The thing that gives me hope about Trump real quick is that he seems to be one that can be manipulated through outcry on social media. That's one thing I've never seen before. This is the first time I've had a presidential candidate, not Trump, but RFK Jr., that I had personal good friends that are personal good friends with him, meaning I'm 1 degree away from him. And I have a couple of those friends, and they all say he's the best guy. He's the nicest dude. He's all that stuff. Obviously, we all know, based on his description of Israel being the kindest, gentlest, you know, country to the Palestinians, obviously they got something going on there, because no one would ever say that about how Israel treats the Palestinians with kindness and humanity. But I do think that this cabinet has some interesting stuff to it that gives me a tiny bit of hope, but we'll see, dude.
Yeah. All right, Austin, there was one that you really wanted to tell him about. From his recent appearance, I believe, on Rogan, it's something he touched on that Joe was pretty astounded by. And you went digging down that rabbit hole further, and I believe you uncovered some stuff that even Sam may not have been aware of.
I just had to pause it immediately because it, like I said, I recognized the synchronistic aspect of how it tied perfectly into a recent episode of mine where I covered Omar Mateen and the Pulse nightclub shooting. Right. And but you had just before I forget, you had just mentioned Sheldon Adelson and his connection to the Vegas shooting. And the, perfectly in line with your skepticism is the fact that what was Trump's reaction to that? Right. The reaction was grab the guns, ban the bump stocks, deal with the Supreme Court later. And I think that that tends to be the reaction of most, you know, public representatives, whether they're compromised by special interest groups or not. And I think that more times than not, it's they're most definitely compromised by special interest groups. And I even heard Scott Horton recently put it in the terms of like, great, Miriam Adelson's war cabinet was just chosen. You know what I mean? And,
yeah,
and essentially implicating just the future extermination and of, right, the Gazan people and the Palestinians in Gaza and really the annexation of the West Bank, which I see as inevitable at this point. And it's devastating to even say that, you know, but it's unfortunately, I just don't see another way. Not that at least forward, I don't see anyone standing in the way of that. Right. So,
well, anyway. Biblically they talk about it and you know, it's like, I always go into Rogan wanting to tell him certain things and, you know, you just kind of ride the wave right of where he wants to go, and which is great because he knows how to keep that train on the tracks, you know. But I wanted to talk about my good friend El Dorado from I got into this on Fire the Kid and they're like, you lost us, you know, even Shab, who's like really on our side. but, you know, it's like my friend El Dorado, Tony Dorado, would like he. We went to college in like 91. We went to college and he came back after a year deep in religion and he was deeply into Christianity. And we would always, every time college done, we would come home and we would just sit down and we'd just talk. And I knew he's going to make his Jesus pitch to me. And I didn't mind it because I loved religion and I could just talk. You know, I always, even before podcasts, I love to talk politics and all that stuff. So I'd listen to him talk and he would just tell me stuff. And I go, oh, that's interesting. And then, you know, he invites me to this like kind of concert, his churches. And Tony always says that he studies the teachings that Christ, he studies Christianity that Christ did. And I go, okay. So he takes me this kind of concert that his church is having on. This is in the mid to late 90s. Hand to God, these people are singing about towers falling. Like in the early, in the mid to late 90s, they're singing about two towers falling. And wow. I was like, and I heard that and I go, damn, dude, that's kind of F. It's kind of nuts. And then suddenly, bang, the towers fall. Right. Well, Tony's always told me all this stuff. And one thing he told me about the EU before the EU happened, that was going to happen. And his prophecy is that there would be a war between the pagans versus the lost tribes of Israel, and the lost tribes of Israel are the UK, Britain, United States, and Israel, and we're versus the pagans, and the pagans will be led by what is now known as Germany. Okay, and he's been saying this forever, and one of the things he says, Edom. There we go. That's totally right, Edom. So he said a long time ago that at some point the EU is going to step in to what is going on in Israel, what is going on in Gaza. And so when you think about all the stuff that Tony said, who just left the EU? Not just, but a couple years ago left the EU.
Yeah.
Britain.
Yeah, the UK. Yeah. Brexit.
So, right? So that's it's playing out, dude. It's just totally ridiculous. Playing out now. Take that and take a look at what's happening in Germany right now. If you know the prophecy and like you hear people in Israel, and it's really sad that people in Israel and the media in Israel could be more critical of Israel than our own media.
You're right.
It's really fucking sad. But, you know, they're talking about how the problem with Israel isn't the enemy of Israel isn't Hamas, isn't Hezbollah. It is messianic. It is these biblical prophecy Jews who are trying to bring the end of days, right?
Yeah.
And yep. So if we exactly. go, okay, this is what's happening here. Look at what they're doing to Germany. They are annihilating Germany culturally, spiritually, financially. Germany's still playing off the Holocaust.
Yeah.
What a great way to try to hedge your bets if you know a war is coming with the pagans and these are the leaders. Watch what they're doing in Germany, arresting people for having wrong think. That totally makes sense. Yeah. Openly freak shows, people walking, men dressed as dogs on the street. You know,
right.
I don't care how freaky you get. Fly your freak flag. Just fly it at home. That's right. My whole thing. So that's what I think ends up. This is where it's going. And a big thing is that I believe Netanyahu has, since the start, believed that he is the one who ushers in the third temple. And things right. aren't going good for him right now. And I think he's desperate.
Yeah. This falls perfectly in place with, Jose, what I legitimately talked about on Tuesday last week and then brought up on William Ramsey and in my most recent episode with him, which he's great. I know that William, you know, William
Ramsey is amazing.
He's amazing, man. He's one of my favorite, and on a short list of, like, James Corbett, I consider the gold standard in many ways as
for
well.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think William is very much in that vein. Extremely valuable. So many of his interviews are just exceptional. But anyway, I had mentioned this because it's perfectly in line with the ideological subversion that of Yuri Bezmenov, you know, and the G. Edward Griffin interview, of course. But really, I think it's worse than that, because it seems as if ideology itself has been manufactured in many ways as a tool to divide many of us, and also create this psychological prison where we kind of fall into these manufactured traps, right? And so it's almost as if the ideology allows many of these crises to become predetermined. It's amazing.
Tools is what
exactly.
Are.
Exactly.
Yep. Dialectics. So, that's what it is. One thing exactly. plays off the other. I mean, that's what I know. A lot of people have issues with, like, say, Adam Green, but that's kind of the idea that he has with the different you know, Abrahamic religions, is they're essentially dialectically play off of each other, kind of like one determines the other type deal. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I agree with that. I agree with that. And you know, Adam Green was right about a lot of shit, for sure. Right. And, right. you know, I'm sure it got pretty lonely there for a little while. He was kind of in the head of that, a lot of this stuff.
Screaming Jews into a corner by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But the more and more
now we're screaming it with you, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, I am too. And it's very weird. But the more and more, you know, I start thinking there's more layers of this shit. I really do. I think there's layers above the Abrahamic religions. And you know, it's like, I really do think the British Empire is really strong right now. And I think the British Empire made everyone believe that they weren't around anymore. In reality, they're running shit. And I had Jay Dyer on, and like, this episode really resonated with me because I'm constantly talking about, but basically I believe Israel and Saudi Arabia are satellite territories for the British Empire to control the Middle East. And it's
that's Pilgrim Society shit right there.
Exactly, brother. He's like literally preaching to what I just covered on my most recent episode on the Pilgrim Society and the Anglo-American establishment is what it's called.
I'm telling you, bro. I mean, like, so many of these Zionists are Freemasons. And, you know, it's like when the Queen of Queen Elizabeth, when she was alive, is bragging about being, you know, relatives with the Prophet Muhammad and the Veil the Impaler. You know, it's like,
oh my God.
When Rogan's like, do you think lizard people are real? I go, I don't know, but they're all related. They all seem to be related, which makes me think they come from a common source. And you know, when you study Saudi Arabia, like, you know, when Jay Dyer is like, the first king of the House of Saud was a British spy, mind blowing. And you're like, America produces more oil than Saudi Arabia. Why do we need Saudi Arabia? Because we have to control Mecca. So that's why we buy all their oil to have them in our pot, or not our pocket, but the this group of elite bankers, which probably goes back to the Black nobility.
Yeah, and all the aristocratic dynastic oligarchs, right? And these dynastic families that, essentially make up this, you know, private network. And it's really an international private network of global powerful influence. And they all belong to overlapping secret fraternal orders, you know, that are obviously secret societies. And the Pilgrims is the perfect example of that. But what you were just mentioning as far as the, you know, great rapprochement and allegedly American independence in the first place, I mean, it's honestly in question in many ways that the original colonies weren't just some sort of devised plan by the elite aristocracy at the time. And this whole delusion of the American dream and the democratic, you know, sacred destiny, right, as it's been referred to, has been sort of, you know, a construct. And in many ways, to deliberately create this modern dystopian reality that we're facing at this very moment. But what you were saying about layers to it all, I'm in full agreement with you. Just throughout the process of, you know, further exposing myself to information, maintaining an open mind, questioning my values, right? But also being open to reflect on my ideas and change if I deem them to be wrong, right? Like, you discover that we're not entirely certain of what they're capable of, but it's certainly more than you could ever even imagine and essentially conceptualize. And, you know, just what's on record, publicly available, is extraordinary and shocking, right? So it led me to believe, especially considering the esoteric occultism that's involved with a lot of these ancient pagan belief systems and these ancient pagan gods that they tend to worship. And at the very least, they're conducting rituals under these, you know, doctrines.
That's what I'm saying, dude. You know, it's like sorcery's real, dude. And even if you don't believe it, they do. And which, everything they do is old sorcery tricks. And the last thing I'm going to say is, real quick, is that if we know that Mayor Rothschild, on the record, lied about who won the war in order to manipulate the bond market in England. Right. When I say I don't think the Nazis lost World War II, I think Germany did. And I wonder if we actually won the War of Independence, or was it presented in that way so that we did all the hard work, but they still control everything?
Right.
Again, this British Empire that's kind of decided, like, oh, why do we have to control everything when we can just manipulate certain levers and then still get paid the money with it while not running everything?
Yeah, you hit on something that, you know, exactly what I wanted to get into. You know, the elite that rule above us and the beliefs they seem to have you heard of the Beasts of Belgium? I feel like you probably have, or the Marc Dutroux. All right, well, Marc Dutroux, this motherfucker was essentially, some people might look him as like the Epstein of Belgium, but that's not really entirely correct. He's more like Epstein's like muscle, is the way to put this, in Belgium. It's essentially this guy, Dutroux.
Oh, yes.
He's the one who was kidnapping
and the whole
girls.
Like nation, like just, yes,
flipped shit. Yeah, there was a, it was this dude that was already had been busted for raping and kidnapping five girls in 1985. And then he ended up only getting a few years due to good behavior. And then later, when this really popped off, was between 95 and 96, there were four girls that he was charged for. Two of which starved to death in his dungeon. But yeah, it did blow up and became this whole big thing. Austin's done a episode on it for those that are interested. It's one of the best examples I like to point to of like, this shit is real. Mm-hmm. Like the, I don't know if you've heard of you've probably heard of before where the cases, or you've even seen like maybe in movies where you'll see the elites and they'll have like, they'll send people out to hunt. They'll hunt people. A lot of times the more darker ones will be children. You're muted, by the way, Sam. Something's going on.
There we go. Hunting parties.
There we go. Yeah. Yep. The hunting parties. This is where this comes from. In the X dossier, which was which is essentially a dossier of like witness statements and similar things like that. Essentially just a place to put all your information for investigative purposes. When they first started investigating this Beast of Belgium, Mark Dutroux, this is where it was all kept. It quickly got shut down after the judge that actually seemed to be wanting to help got removed for a conflict of interest because he went to some luncheon for the people, for the victims. And then it clearly was the fix was in at that point. The dossier got nixed, and it didn't end up getting released till like, I don't remember how much later, became like a WikiLeaks thing that got released. And that's where we got this information. So the official narrative is essentially that some group of judges, investigators, etc., essentially decided to come up with this entire grand narrative and coach all these different witnesses into saying the most abhorrent things about all these people in power, particularly like royalty, politicians, people who clearly had like Gladio connections. For some reason, they just had the need to make up all this shit and then just... I don't know. I guess maybe there was some political infighting. They just really felt like they had to make up a bunch of. That's the official narrative. Is that we're to believe that they accused the most powerful people in their country of the most obscene things just for, I don't know, some kicks or because they were political enemies or something.
It is interesting, right? Yeah. I've always said this. Like, why do we put up with all this? And the answer is, I think, because we're mammals. And mammals move in a herd. And just like on Natural Geographic, when you see a herd moving and some apex predators come and just pick one of them off, the herd just keeps moving. And that's the only way to explain why we as a society are okay with these giant kidnapping pedophile rings. And, why this foster care system is so dangerous, and it's really sad. It's gross, and it just breaks my heart to think about what happens to people that nobody cares about, and that makes me sad. And it's just, and like Epstein has been portrayed as, come on, bro, it's just a bunch of high school chicks, you know, they want it, come on,
yeah,
bro. You know, they're just high school chicks. Who doesn't like high school chicks, bro? You know, in reality, I guarantee it was much darker than that. Way darker. You know, it's absolutely. Like nobody even brings up that, like, people testified that fucking Bill Clinton used to fool around with the boys. Nobody talks about that. Nope. It's just, hey, dude, come on, bro. They're high school chicks, dog.
Mm-hmm.
They're horny, dog. You know, it's like, it's just sold like that. That they were just banging a bunch of high school chicks that were just freaky anyways. And, you know, it's this P. Diddy seems to be getting darker, but it's almost like if they just think they could stretch it out long enough, people will move on. Nothing's happened. We all know J-Lo. They got J-Lo dead to rights. Nothing's happened because this will get to the highest levels of power.
Oh, yeah.
Which
exactly.
Sorry, I mean to throw you off. I guess this kind of brings to the question. I think we're at a paradigm shift in one way or another. We're at a point to where I just feel like, I mean, you just listed off multiple. We obviously the Belgium affair we just talked about, Epstein, Diddy. I mean, there's other ones as well. We've just gotten to such a point to where the public has been so inundated with all these blackmail rings, it's becoming common knowledge. I just feel like we're at a point where some of the deeper knowledge, like the stuff I'm talking about, just now with like the hunting parties and stuff like that, may start to really come out. But with that, we may see another deep event to try to essentially skirt away from it. Because the economics people out there, we understand the boom bust cycle, but it always seems like it weirdly also coincides with, oh shit, people are getting wise to shit. okay, crash. And like, it kind of, it goes along with it like that. And it usually coincides with deep events. Like right before, like one of the biggest crashes recently was when we went into COVID. That was one of the biggest economic crashes we had. That was, and we, but we were also due for a boost or a bust economically. It's almost as if they like perfectly timed these events to be like, oh, you know, all these different forces kind of perfectly play together.
Grab wealth too. Yeah. Well, that's a big part of these things are all to grab is, you know, to change, you know, what's it, the biggest transfer of wealth of all time.
Yeah. But the point being is, I think either they're at a spot to where the bust is going to be because we completely lose trust in these people and the truth comes out and then we have a natural rebuilding, or the bust becomes some deep event happens and then we just repeat the cycle over again. Now, which is probably the more likely of the two, to be completely honest, if we follow history. What are your thoughts about upcoming deep events? Because I'm just really feeling, I know it sounds crazy and wild, but we're in a wild, crazy time. We're in a time to where the truth could come out about elite hunting parties.
Yeah.
So, well, it's not that crazy that aliens might come. Like, well, honestly, that's the one I'm thinking right now.
What I will tell you is that, for the first time ever, my girlfriend is a conspiracy theorist. Like, she was forever not a conspiracy theorist, and she is just now diving into it. P. Diddy woke her up to that, and now she's open-minded to it. The biggest thing is what I mean, it has to be a complete and utter collapse and just restructuring to get them to back to where they were, because nobody's buying their shit anymore. I feel like they've used all their playbook. The last thing is aliens, like full on aliens. They could do another 9/11 today and no one would believe it. No one would believe it. They could try to set up a false flag to blame Iran. No one will believe it. So they're like, every time they show one of these, look at this. All right, Nazi group marching together. Everyone's like, feds, it's a fucking fed. And they played all their cards. Because the internet doesn't forget. Even though they try to wipe it clean all the time, it doesn't forget. So aliens is the last thing they got. And we'll see how that goes. But everyone's got a big false flag's coming. Big false flag. Mm. I don't know what that does for them.
Yeah.
Look at North Carolina.
At the very least, yeah.
North Carolina, they flood the place with weather manipulation. Everyone blames the government.
Right.
It's like they're already done, dude. I think they're running out of options. And whatever Trump represents, and I'm not here to tell you, I've always said I think Trump is Godzilla. I think Trump's Godzilla. You know, he wrecked shop, but at some point everyone realizes they need Godzilla because there's worse monsters coming. But that doesn't mean Godzilla isn't a monster and can't turn around and just start wrecking people. And there's a game that gets to be played. I do believe he's a Kabbalistic sorcerer. I think he uses Jew magic, okay? And he's totally into that. And they're basically everything, Freemasons, Jesuits. They got people in all the groups. Whatever he represents, which I don't know what that is that they hate him so much. If you believe the hate is real, I mean, we always see him with Chuck Schumer smiling and patting each other on the back. I mean, we know that there's a level of pro wrestling going on here, right? You know, I mean, I love Alex Jones. I think Alex Jones is I met Alex Jones on several occasions. Couldn't be a nicer guy, you know? But, you know, oh, I'm losing InfoWars. Then he gets InfoWars right back. What is the theater of that? Is there theater of that? I know a lot of guys on the show, they'd probably be unhappy with me saying that. I don't know. So one thing I will say about Trump that makes him different than the other guys is that he seems to want to preside, while Kamala Harris would have been a Kardashian-type figure who just takes pictures, gets free shit, and makes money. That's really, she wasn't going to do anything. It was going to be like a vice president in a presidential role, where the vice president really doesn't do anything outside Dick Cheney. That's what was going to become the president. So maybe he wants to preside when you know, if you talk to, you know, what's his name? Ryan Jeremy Slate, when he talks about the end of the Empire of Rome, they just started putting placemats in. At the end was like a kid that they just gave a stipend to, which I believe was Biden and in particular Kamala Harris, Kamala, whatever her name is. That's what they wanted her to be. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I do think we are seeing a changing of the guard here for sure. I do think we're getting a new group of more impressive elites going forward, but at the same time, we do need to still be cognizant that they are still the elites. We're just shifting from whatever this fucking version of government is we have now to more of a technocracy focused one with Peter Thiel and exactly. all these fucking cronies. So you got to keep an eye on your rear. And don't think just because these guys have been cool during this time that they're your people, they're going to try to pull in sneakies along the way. So stay true to the Brother. Path.
Cycle of false hope, right? That essentially, like, I don't know, it seems to placate the revolutionary class by design, right? And I think that has just been a part of the playbook for longer than we would like to believe. You know, and that's why I mentioned the ideological subversion. It's like imagining Nazism, Bolshevism, communism, and Zionism all as these you know, constructed tools for chaos, right? Order out of chaos, right? And then the sacred destiny that you mentioned the Kabbalah or Kabbalah, you know, that's perfectly in the vein of exactly the same thing that I was talking about earlier with the pilgrims. And I discovered this amazing researcher named David Livingstone. I think Williams interviewed him actually, but he really touched on that briefly and kind of made this argument that the foundation of America was not this sacred destiny to achieve democracy. It was a Rosicrucian mission, right? And to have it like laid out, explaining that, you know, this ridiculous false narrative that we've essentially been, you know, sold is in reality, you know, a false narrative. And the fact of the matter is this Rosicrucian mission was inspired by the City of the Sun, Campanelli's City of the Sun, and Francis Bacon's New Atlantis. And once you get into that, the goal was to set up a haven where they would be free to practice heretical views. And according to the Masonic perspective of Manly P. Hall in The Secret Destiny of America, he explains that Bacon quickly realized that here in the New World was the proper environment for the accomplishment of his great dream, the establishment of the philosophic empire. It must be remembered that Bacon did not play a lone hand. He was the head of a secret society, including in its membership the most brilliant intellectuals of his day. All these men were bound together by a common oath to labor in the cause of a world democracy. Bacon's Society of the Unknown Philosophers included men of high rank and broad influence. Together with Bacon, they devised the colonization scheme. And so the goal of Freemasonry, according to Pike, is to fulfill the end times prophecies of the Book of Revelation. And that mission, according to occultists such as Manly P. Hall, is the fulfillment of this universal plan, the great work, an alchemical term for the process of working with the prima materia to create the philosopher's stone. It has been used to describe personal and spiritual transmutation in the Hermetic tradition, believed to have been preserved over the centuries by the predecessors of Freemasonry, the Templar Knights, and the Rosicrucians. It is interpreted from the esoteric teachings of the Jewish mystical tradition of the Kabbalah, according to which this fulfillment will come from a resolution of all opposites, leading to order out of chaos, according to the Masonic dictum.
Dude, that brings all the boys to the yard, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like that is literally the scene from the Warriors. And you dig it, right?
Exactly. Everyone,
like, oh, we got the Jesuits here, we got the Zionists here, we got the Marxists here, we got the, you know, the Freemasons here. Like everybody's hanging and banging at our little thing, and that seems to be it, man. That seems to be it. I've been saying this shit forever, dude. forever. Like, it's they're just trying to make this shit happen. But you know, the I'm reading, it's so crazy. I'm reading the book of Revelations, where like I was just talking this on Broken Sim, but you know, about, I think it's Steiner, I think is the author. You know, it was this priest named Steiner, I think is his name. I could be wrong. He basically gave a lecture about in 1920s in Germany to a bunch of Rudolf Steiner, who gave a lecture to a bunch of priests on the Book of Revelation. And dude, I'm 17 pages in, and it's already mind blowing, because he's already this is Christians meeting to talk about the Book of Revelation, and he's talking about fucking mystery schools.
Oh my God.
Right? He's talking about mystery schools, and you go, what has been manipulated in religion to get that? If you talk to anybody who calls himself a Christian, a devout Christian right now, you bring up mystery schools, they'll call you pagan, and they call you blasphemous. And it's like, nope, that's not real shit. And here you are in the 1920s having a huge lecture by this guy that was at the end of his run. He was close to death. And he gave this like 4-day lecture on the Book of Revelation. And he's constantly talking about the mystery schools. And he talks about the apocalypse, not as this kind of like fire and brimstone end, but like a day of great, like all knowledge will be known.
Wow.
It is a time where all will be known, that which I blew my mind, because I've always been in conflict as I go on my Christian, you know, try to learn Christ and all that stuff, that, you know, it's like things like manifestation, I feel like gets demonized by Christians, but I go, but it's real. It's energy, and it's manipulation. And you're like trying to tell me that this stuff doesn't believe, you know, doesn't exist. So that to me, is that, dude, give it up for the, what's the chance of that actually being them? Anybody?
That's our producer's wife.
Oh, shit. Bang.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
Jules. It's like, it's really true, dude. It's just like, when I read that, I'm like, fuck, bro.
Right.
Like, no, we have been manipulated even with our religion, so we don't get closer to source and stuff like that. So yeah, everything you said resonates with me.
Yeah. Hey guys, let's take a moment. I do want to remind you guys that today's episode is brought to you by Nadeo Shave Co. If you're tired of that razor burn irritation and the other bullshit you get from those multi-blade cartridges, this is the way to go. Go back to traditional shave. You don't need that expensive nonsense. You can shave just like your grandpa used to. Whether you're shaving your entire face or just edging up your beard, the single blades give you a barber-grade shave for a fraction of the price. The standard issue includes one traditional safety razor and a box of 100 stainless steel razor blades. That puts you at about $75 a shave for the entire year. But let's be real, that depends on how frequently you do it. I've barely even put a dent into mine. But if you're one of those people who shave on the regular, you might want to consider the Core Shave Club. That puts you at about 25 cents per replacement blade. You've also got shave lathers and 3-in-1 body hair and face soap as well. This is a COVID mandate refusing company. It was born out of refusing the COVID mandate. Use Jose for 10% off your entire order. With that, guys, we are going to transition over to the call-in portion of the show. So with that just, it's more just audience engagement. So if you're in the Rumble chat, we will be giving heavy preference to people who drop super chats. But my Rumble's the only place that we can do that at, because I am demonetized on YouTube. Also, if you support me or Austin, you can come on as a talking head alongside all of us. I saw one of my patrons in here earlier, so now is your time to come back, buddy. And then, yeah, also we have the call-ins, which I will put the number down here now, 941-281-5857. I will warn you, if you call in logistically, you can only talk to me. Everyone can hear you, but they can't. You can't hear them if they try to talk to you. So pretty much just pop in, ask a question, and we'll kick you out, and then we'll pass it off to us to talk about it if you choose that option. But if you want to give us money, patreon.com/NoyJose2020. I don't know what yours is, Austin. If anyone wants to try to get in last minute and hit up the StreamYard link in our patrons, our Patreons. But yeah. So with that, let's go ahead and get it. We have a super chat right there. I might have been late and gay, but I still made it. You are here by 11 the Butcher. yes, that is our 11-year-old that has sexual questions about their sexuality. You're still too young for that. By 11 the Butcher. It's a stupid joke.
That's not the case.
I think it's Bill Butcher. Right. By 11 Butcher. But yeah, so now's you guys' time to call in if you want to do that. But yeah, back to where we were. I believe, I guess to play off what we were talking about, I know in your Pilgrim Society recently, I forget the quote, but you brought up a few times the idea that they were using capitalism, Nazism, Bolshevism, and Zionism all as a dialectical tool of each other as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Exactly. That's all so interesting.
It is, brother, especially when you consider, like, there are receipts that would just blow your mind, honestly, once you you trace them back to these individuals who, for example, like Otto Kahn, who's a partner of Jacob Schiff, who's a Pilgrim elite, you know, key member of the Pilgrim Society, but also, of course, is connected to Felix Warburg and Kuhnloeb and Company, which is a right, which it's very interesting when you get into the fact that Aleister Crowley, right, his friend was Kuhnloeb banker Otto Kahn, okay, the individual that I just mentioned, who, according to Norman Thwaites, was wholeheartedly pro-Allied and especially pro-British. So, of course, that falls under the Pilgrims, you know, kind of framework of the Anglo-American establishment and this strange relationship between the elite oligarchy in the UK and the powerful individuals and power brokers within the framework of the United States. And so it becomes a lot more interesting because the Pilgrims was founded officially in 1902, right around that time of the Great Rapprochement. And Cecil Rhodes is very much involved in this, right? And he once had a quote where he said, I would annex the planets if I could, right? This is the mentality of the elites.
Psychopaths. Our phones give them all of our data, mm-hmm. right? They give us all of our data. Exactly. Right, they had ways to do it before. Who's the data? How what are we doing?
All right, by the way, guys, we have a guest. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. We have a guest, Josh Real Josh Elliott. This is one of my patrons. Thanks for joining us. What's up, man?
Oh, not too much. Just saying hello. I had a little story, a little note to tell y'all, and I want to see what y'all think of it.
Boom, boom.
Oh, yeah.
Boom. How are you, Sam?
I'm good, buddy. I'm just doing the theme to Notorious B.I.G.'s I Got a Story to Tell.
Oh, yeah. We met in Kansas City back at one of your comedy shows. It was awesome.
One of my favorite cities, dude. I would if it wasn't cold, I would live there.
Yeah, it's really nice. So funny enough, I work for a billionaire, and I've worked for him for like 14 years and live with him about 8 months out of the year. So I spent a lot of time with these people.
Does he want to sponsor a podcast?
Right? Maybe. Well, maybe. His kids are all in conspiracies and stuff too. But, you know, with the Diddy stuff going on, the Epstein stuff, I just think it's so weird. And we don't do anything weird like that or whatever. But the way that people act around these people is insane. And people don't ever remember this part of it. You know, like when they're talking about Diddy and shit. People wanted to be at those parties. People are doing those things at the parties on purpose. You know, I'm sure people wanted to be with Cosby. I watch people fall over my boss, like the hottest chicks. And I'm going to say he's like not the hottest dude ever. but I just see girls that I can't get hooking up with, you know, trying to hook up with him all the time. He's married and he can't be doing that shit. But what happens in these situations?
But if you got chicks that you could get, wouldn't you do an intervention? Going, why are you banging chicks I can bang?
Right,
hotter chicks, bro.
Believe me, yeah, right, exactly. No, but I try to intervene, and I do. Like sometimes you get some scraps along the way, just from being around, because I'm always around. But it's interesting because, you know, I just see these girls, they fall all over and stuff like that. And what happens is they will kind of come around. They'll be on maybe on the yacht or hang out for a week or so. But as soon as they don't get those texts back, you know, the following week, they're out, they get ghosted. A week after that, they get ghosted. And then all of a sudden, he's the biggest asshole. You start seeing fucking shit come up on Twitter or whatever in social medias. And I just think it's so weird. So like, we have to dissect what is really going on with these ditty parties. What really happened to Epstein? How many people were there?
To these chicks. They're hookers, escorts, and porn stars. They're like, they made me do things I didn't want to do. It's like, no, nobody's buying any of it. There's obviously victims. We obviously know
something
happened to Justin Bieber, right?
Right.
Most likely Usher, who had something done to him,
seems
you know, passed the trauma on to another generation. Sure. We know that. But some of these chicks aren't acting like they weren't trying to get it. Like, there's a good chance Jennifer Lopez is like the Michael Jordan of fuck your way to the top.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, I've always said Melania Trump is the Michael Jordan of gold diggers. Like, like she was most likely a high end escort. And now she's for the second time. First lady.
What about Kamala for that matter? You know what I mean?
For sure.
You're not wrong.
Oh, yeah, it's a real,
you know, she did what she had to do to get where she is at. You know, she didn't just get noticed for her genius, you know, but right off the bat.
Everything coming out about J-Lo is that she can't sing and she just was part of dark shit. And you know, and it's just like, and she just keeps going. You're like, why is this 50 fucking year old bitch trying to act like she's still 20 doing shit that 20 year olds do because she's part of the group and they just, you know, they're constantly pushing her forward. The big thing is like, how dark is Beyonce? Like, Beyonce's starting to take that Oprah Winfrey turn where you're like, oh bro, you're a fucking sorcerer. Like you're dark arts. Like, Beyonce's so crazy, she sings about the murder she allegedly might have done.
Right?
But, yeah, and coincidentally, on that note, you know, I've spent time with Jay-Z, spent time with Beyonce, spent time with these people. You know what I'm saying? And if they do come out to be these demons and shit, there are going to be pictures of everybody and all of us together. That's what's fucked up. And then the people are going to look at the people that I'm with and go, they're part of this club, but they're not part of the club. I know they're not. You know what I mean? And it's just such a fine line, which is crazy. One last thing, Sam, and this is crazy. It's not a super critique, but it was on the biggest podcast you had just recently before Trump. Sometimes we make these mistakes with our facts. So you mentioned on that one that the Bushes had lunch with the Hinckleys or whatever before, but it didn't happen. It was scheduled for the night after the shooting. It was canceled, and Neil, you know, didn't have that dinner. But
why is there a video of them leaving a restaurant together?
I haven't seen that video.
I have.
Okay, I'll see it. I spent a lot of time
with find it. I'm like, good luck finding any of this shit. And I'm not saying you're wrong, but I saw a video of them leaving a restaurant together. It was Bush's and Hinckley's the night before.
Speaking of, old things can disappear sometimes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
My mic just dropped, but me and Austin were actually talking about this morning where that cyber attack recently, and we were covering this article. God, my mic does that anytime I do call-ins. I don't know why it does
that. Yeah, you have this one? My thing does that too. Like, for some reason, it just, like, goes real quiet. when I get too close.
Yeah, Josh, I'm going to have to let you go. We do have someone waiting.
Josh is fact checking me.
Yeah. No. Can I make one point? Just real quick. So I'm not trying to be rude about this, Sam. What I was trying to say was, like, I do spend a lot of time with Neil Bush as well. And
Jesus.
But check this out.
You got Satan in your phone too, bro?
Right. Exactly. But check this out. So, like, when I show this to the kids that know these people, and they go, that never happened, then they just kind of disregard the rest of it. That's the only thing that I was saying, is we got to just be a little careful about, you know, we got to make sure that we know that we can prove it, I guess, so that they don't disregard the whole podcast after that. That was my only point.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, at the basis of it is that they are related. So they could go,
100%.
You could go, okay, they didn't have dinner together. That's not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Yeah. And I understand what you're saying, dude.
Yeah, but on a tinfoil hat, that's something. But like on Joe Rogan, where there's like 34,000 people. I wish
that many people would listen to it.
But thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you coming on, bud.
For sure.
We have another video call. God, it's doing it again.
Guys, coming on, fact checking me. What are we doing, dude?
I love
the guy who knows all the evil people came to my show. I'm like, okay, what are you spying on me, bro? Right,
we got another video call. God, I don't know why it keeps doing that. I got another video call in the wing, and then I have a call. So let me address that real quick. What they have to say.
I know Jose mentioned the Internet Archive hack, though. Yeah, it was significant. I think it's a part of the right what you've said before, Sam. The dead internet, right? The memory holding that's effectively being done.
Can we come back to that real quick? I do want to address this call real quick. Sorry.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had the call on the line, bro.
You're good. Hey, you're on Already Dead with Jose Austin and Sam Tripoli. What's up, my friend?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, it's a conspiracy extremist. First thing, Sam. Thank you for that hug in Arizona when you're doing something. You gave me a great hug, and
I hug, bro. I'm a hugger. I'm a hugger.
I have to address something that's very serious to me. Okay. Now that you are talking about, you know, real and all, you're on the right side of that. But I want to know, when are you going to name the Mexican? Because that's the important thing to me. When are you going to name the Mexican?
Name the Mexican.
All right, we'll let you go, bud, because obviously you guys can't talk back and forth. But all right, appreciate you calling in. All right, you have a good one.
I'm gonna name the Mexican. I wish I knew what Mexican he was talking about.
Do you guys know?
I'm not sure.
Oh, really?
All right, let's bring in.
I would love to name the Mexican. Who is he?
I thought you did name the Mexican, right? Didn't you name XG?
XG, I did name XG.
There you go.
I was like, I can't remember your name. Your name is XG. Now he runs.
It's all these goddamn Puerto
Ricans. Everybody who is a Mexican with a podcast has to hire XG like he's some kind of weird kind of like a fucking podcast mafia boss.
Right.
Go kiss XG's ring. Ask him if you could fucking do a podcast. Get his
approval.
Hey,
we did it. We had to have him on too. So we kissed them.
Oh, I would love to see that.
It was great, man. It was hilarious.
All right, we have our guest always listed as client number 9 for some reason.
Client
What's up, my
nine,
friend?
But stuff.
It's an Elliot Spitzer reference for a blast from the past. How's it going?
I like it's that, dude, because that was when you talk about dead internet. Good luck finding anything about that laptop. Good luck finding anything about all those cops that killed themselves. Good luck finding any of that. It's so memory hole that this piece of shit is like, I'm going to get back into politics. You're like, bro.
Oh, yeah.
And like the Democratic state, like New York, they're like, yeah, go for it. Fuck yeah.
Perfect. Nice to meet you, Sam. Question for you. Did you know that you were going to be on the same day as Trump? And if so, is that why you planned? It seemed almost like you planned because you dropped Smith Munn and the Hinckley connection in like the first 45 seconds. It was brilliant. And
so when they were discussing when this episode was going to drop, they had discussed putting out Monday. And when I saw that it went out Friday, I thought maybe something had happened with Trump wasn't going to be able to make it. So they needed to put out an episode. So I don't know what happened. I'm thankful for it. It was pretty cool to be on that day, you know, for all my family and friends. You know, it was very, I'm in a high school, like all my buddies are with the high school. I screenshot sent to them. That was fun. It caused a race war in the chat, but that's okay. A buddy of mine's black. He just bangs white chicks in front of husbands, and he didn't enjoy that. But the point is this, it was cool. It was cool. It's a blessing. I'll be Eskimos forever. And, but I originally thought it was coming out I thought Trump was going to come out Friday and then I was going to come out Monday. But I also think there was just kind of this push real quick to get as many of these people in before the election as well. I'm just talking. I don't, in terms of like that, I don't know, but that's what I feel.
Because early on, there were like 40,000 people that had watched it. And I was thinking to myself, like, if they got there, like some of the people in the chat, and they were like, who the fuck is this guy? And if they only listened for like the first minute and they go, and if 10% of them Googled it, you just red pilled the shit out of about 5 or 6,000 people.
Right.
I hope so, dude. I mean, that is the goal of every time I go on is, can I introduce Joe Rogan to something he doesn't know?
And then my last one for you, because I've been telling sort of my normie friends, listen to the Sam Tripoli episodes, all of them, but especially this most recent. And it seems like anytime you ask, like, hey, have you heard of whatever comes next? If they Google it, they're going to go down a rabbit hole. And it's
down a rabbit hole. And that's kind of the goal, dude, is like to get these things out. I want to say something about Joe Rogan. I think Joe Rogan is amazing at getting out information while at the same time trying to act like he's not necessarily signing on it. Like, right. Regardless of what you think about flat earth and all that stuff, flat earth is a thing because Joe Rogan and Eddie Bravo screamed yeah. about it on so many episodes. That's okay. Why jiu-jitsu's everywhere, I think, because yeah. Eddie Bravo, Joe Rogan talking about forever. But the flat earth discussion, all that stuff, it's because Joe Rogan was like, Eddie, you're crazy. Eddie, shut up. You don't know. Right. But here it is. Everyone's looking it up. And everyone. So I think Joe Rogan is a lot smarter in that aspect of how he can get people to look at things that maybe he doesn't want to have to get co-signed on. Do you know what I'm saying? So he could get out without like co-signing on it, so he doesn't get more shit.
Exactly.
Amen. I'll leave you all be. Great show. Thank you so much. And as a soon to be father of a daughter, thank you for your special. A lot of the thoughts you had there are going through my mind right now. So
yo,
soon to
yo.
Be. Congrats.
Oh yeah, dude. Client 9. Congratulations.
That's proof
dude.
I'm not gay, right?
Your first. Gay guys have kids all the time. But let me ask you something. Is this your first?
Yes.
Oh, it's the best. You don't even hell know yeah. what's coming, bro.
We're old, too, so she's not going to get away with shit. It's going to be
yeah,
great.
Yeah, dude. You think that. You think you're going to run it with an iron fist, bro. You're in trouble, dude. It's a girl. You know, it's a girl. She's going to have your wrapped. The first 6 months is crazy. My suggestion is you and your wife figure out who's nighttime, who stays up late, who gets up early, run shifts. When the baby sleeps, you sleep. But running shifts is the most important part. And just know your wife, well, the mother of my children had 2 kids, so her hormones were even crazier. But, you know, nobody talks about what they go through after they have a baby, so brace yourself, brother.
You know? Wow, how old are you? How old are you, bud?
Huh?
How old are you?
I'm 43.
Oh, that's wild, man. I'm like, fuck, I'm 33 and I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old.
You have a 15-year-old?
Yeah.
Damn, bro, you really are Latino.
My 20s drunk, though, man. I couldn't settle that down.
Yeah, well, congrats, man. It's the best time to have kids, man, when you're a little older and you're just there's perks to both. Like, you know, when Jose's older, his kids are older, there can almost be friends and go out and do stuff.
Yeah.
So when he gets my age, they're going to be old and out. He's going to be able to go out and do, like, you see that in stand-up comedy where, like, Bert Kreischer and I are about the same age. His kids are in college now. He can go out and do stuff. But, like, as you get older, like, you having kids older, now you're more appreciative of it. And it's the perfect time because you're already slowing down. So it's you're going to enjoy it, dude. You're going to feel love you've never felt before. And the weirdest thing about having kids is you will have memories of your past life before they're around, and you will always feel them in those memories. They're always there. Even when you think about your when you were a child and memories from your childhood, you will always feel their presence. It's the weirdest thing. You won't even understand it until you get. You don't even understand the love that's coming. So congratulations. It's the best. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a good one.
All right, you too, man. I believe I may have stepped on you a little bit there, but Austin. I think you were talking about the cyber attack thing, which I don't know if you were getting at. We have a super chat we need to get to, and we'll get back to those in a second. So in a second, Jules, if you want to bring that up. But no, in the meantime, I did want to get back to what you were talking about, Austin, because we did step on it. And also, I did think it was timely because it's like we literally this morning were going streaming and we went over that that piece that was making the claim that the two people that opened the doors on J6, like some of the first doors from the inside, had incredibly weird connections with Israel and like literally one's like an IDF guy. And then the biggest thing is where
the IDF now was that they are JFK killings. Yep. They have one of the heads of the IDF at the JFK. And it's just like, you know, it's like it's very weird to me right now. People need to tell me why these anti-Semitism laws are passing and why is everybody okay with them. Show me another time when a law was passed to protect an ideology.
Yeah.
Right.
It's never happened. And it's just like this gets into that, you know, and Adam Green doesn't think it's real. But it's like that David Goldberg thing where he's talking about like this whole thing with like camps to lock up all the anti-Zionists. Right. And it's just like, seems like laws are being passed right now, you know? Project Zeffler, I think it's called. Have you guys looked into that?
I haven't looked into it.
And like a lot of people say it's not real, but it just seems like these laws are coming. And, you know, you guys, I was talking, who was I talking to this about?
Hey, what's up, man?
Was it Dylan on Conspiracy Social Club? But, dude, Dr. Dre was dancing on FEMA camp houses in a Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we know that is always kind of the revelation of the method.
Oh my God! Yes, yeah, somebody actually hit me up about this. Did you go mute, Sam?
No.
Oh, okay. For some reason, it sounded really quiet to me. But yeah, somebody did hit me up about the Zephyr Project. I just wasn't aware that was the name. I had forgotten, but that. Honestly, it does make sense, especially if you, I mean, I've been under the impression that, you know, FEMA camps are in, right, the dystopian future, especially when you think of the natural asset corridors and Agenda 2030 and Agenda 21 and Operation Lockstep and the report from Iron Mountain and the Great Reset. I mean, how many different rebrands does it need until we're aware of the fact that we are a sort of kind embracing this level of tyranny that we can't quite see because of the matter of convenience involved. And I think that is, you know, something that is largely unrecognized by the vast majority. And again, it's because we've been kind of like, you know, seduced by the convenience, as I mentioned. And so when you look at the cyber, like the hacks on the Internet Archive, which for me is like, you know, a very legitimate resource because it's the Wayback Machine. It's a digital archive online library that it attempts to hold old records of archived, you know, articles that have largely been memory hold in the past, but each time that there's a security breach with the Internet Archive, there seems to be a massive purge, right? And a lot of information that is crucial to making the cases to these alternative narratives
disappears
to be brother.
That J6 footage I was referring to, that I was getting to. By the way, we have a caller. I'm going ahead and bring them on. Damn it. Anytime I bring in a caller, it does this weird Jack my stuff. All right, I'm gonna try to bring the caller. As soon as it's gone, it'll go back to normal. But all right, let's bring this caller on. You're on Already Dead with Jose, Austin, and our guest Sam Tripoli. What's up, my man? How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. It's really nice to be on here, guys. Yeah. What's up, Sam?
Hi,
I can't hear you, but hopefully
you
can
hear me.
How are you? Yeah, guys. So my name is Giovanni Vuk. I'm actually on
Giovanni!
A podcast with Sam called Johnny Cash Reads the Bible. Yeah. I'm one of the co-hosts. So, yeah, I just wanted to ask you guys what you guys think about Congress talking about UAPs and UFOs.
Ooh.
Hell yeah, pretty crazy one. Stuff. So.
All right, well, we'll talk about that. I'm going to let you go.
Giovanni's a killer. He's a great one. He's great.
For sure.
All right,
big
we'll see
fan. Good friend.
Take care. Bye, bye, Sam. And we got to get those kids baptized.
Yeah, he wants me. I'm not against it. Bye. That's the next thing. It's interesting, dude. Like we said earlier, this is their last card they haven't played, in my humble opinion, is the alien stuff. Are they going to want to play that hand? Is the Starlink the audio-visual unit to bring it on, to put the illusion of it, or is something really coming? There's people have talked about how the real PSYOP isn't that the government is faking an encounter, but actually that the government is trying to take credit for a real encounter and making you think it's fake. So it's interesting. But that's all that's left, dude. That's their last card they can play that we haven't really seen a reaction to. But I think people are so siloed now. Do they even care? Like, whenever a high impact event happens, I always like to go to Instagram and see how the Instagram models are taking it, and they're ass up, face down. It doesn't matter what happens, buttholes to the world. You know, the whatever you think of the Trump assassination, I think it was, I don't think it's real. I think it was a Kabbalistic ritual. But you know,
theater.
You go to Instagram and just buttholes galore, you know, like everywhere. So what will the impact be? Are we so fractured that we don't even, nobody will even care at that point?
All I see is visions of Project Bluebeam, right? Like where it's just like the Disclosure Project has all these ties to the Rockefellers, right? Like it's very obvious to me that this is a design tactic. And so I, as you're saying, like, I don't know how, you know, how much it would be convincing, right? But I mean, if you research the level of the capability that DARPA has achieved, it's fascinating, right?
And especially, we
don't even know what they got, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
These Elon Musk robots, those are the flip phones of robots right now.
Exactly.
And once you know how thoroughly they've infiltrated and seeded disinformation, misinformation, whatever, like legitimate actual that in the UFO community, the more you dig into that realm, the more the reasonable person comes to the conclusion that I probably should just not believe anything that comes from the sphere whatsoever. Like neither knee-jerk disbelieve or believe. Just kind of just like a, almost as if it means borderline nothing. Like literally just believe nothing but your eyes, and even then probably question that.
Well, I mean, the truth is, like, what are we supposed to do with this information? Like, what are we supposed to do? And the truth is, what we're supposed to do is learn how to know when they're lying to us and not fall for their psyops. That's the purpose of all of it, is to not fall for the psyops, not run to get the jab, not, you know, run to get this ID, that ID, you know, just live in fear of everything. That is the key to everything. You know, it's like this new psyop of like flying is, they don't want you flying. So now every video is about hot black strippers swinging on each other on a Spirit Airlines and the doors flying off. Like, don't fall for the psyop. Get out of the house. Go work out. Don't sit at home smoking pot and not getting out into the world. That's what the purpose of this is. Okay.
Right.
Not to fall for it is, Iran's behind the presidential assassination. None of that. You don't fall for any of it.
You want to go back up to the $2 one? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You want to go back up to the $2 one? We'll work through that. I feel like if you want to hop in on this $2 one, I skimmed it earlier, and it seemed like something up your alley, Jules. More in the esoteric type shit. Where the fuck did it go? Scroll up. You lost it.
Oh.
The $2 one, yeah.
Wrong chat. Yeah, hold on. I have a pop out.
Trump is Zeus, Jupiter, Elon is Prometheus, Biden is Cronus. Zeus turns on Prometheus, but only after they both kill Cronus. It's all Greek secession myth. Trump even has a resort in Jupiter, Florida. This is from Root Hog. Thanks for the $2.
Not against that. Yeah. Not against that.
Yeah, if you talk about all these deities basically being from the same line of fallen angels, but mm-hmm. he's referring to the archetypes of them. So Trump mm-hmm. being Zeus, I don't know. See, I think we talked about a few episodes ago about there's a theory that there's an Osirian ritual that's taking place under the White House while he's being inducted into being president.
I've heard that too.
I think I heard that on your show, Sam.
Okay. And we both heard it from the same place.
Prometheus. I don't know. I'd have to kind of look at that, man. That's interesting, though. I mean, it could be true.
I agree. I think people don't understand, dude. It's like I said this to Rogan at the end. The old gods want to come back. The old gods want to come out and play. I do believe that the Greater Israel Project is just them trying to bring back Mesopotamia. Trying to, you know, like that's why that area is always in conflict. It's my theory that we live in a haunted house and some places are more haunted than others.
Yeah, absolutely. With the energy in some places is a lot more ancient, maybe, but definitely different than that in other places.
Right, we also got $10 Joey poop bag.
Joey poop bag.
You can go ahead and scroll down to the 20. I'll just read the $10 one.
Joey poop bag.
Yeah, he says this chat is racist, homophobic, and mean. Fuck you guys, Kamala 2024. Love you, Sammy. I'm aborting though. I'm assuming that was some sort of joke. Do you have the $20? Thanks for the $10 though. You have that $20 up on the screen right now. I can read it while you bring it up. It's from Conspiracy Extremist. He's who called in a little bit ago. With a $20 super chat. It says, Sam, you are an inspiration and thank you for the balance you bring to the truther world. Jules is gay. Thank you to No Way Jose for all the work you do with OKC. Thank you. This guy's got good taste.
Thanks, Connie.
This guy gets it. So what? You're gay, Jules. Your girlfriend's hot. That's all that
matters. It's my wife, but yeah.
Your wife is hot.
Pretty fucking hot.
Dude, you
yeah.
have the most exquisite
wife, gay man.
Yeah. The most exquisite you, beard I've ever seen.
Yeah, unbelievable. The pegging must be amazing.
It's not
she yeah, must have a pretty dick, dude. She must have a pretty dick.
Jules, didn't you say your mom, but your wife wanted to
no,
say
no, your wife.
No.
Didn't your wife want to say hi, Jules?
Huh?
Didn't your wife want to say hi?
What, are we trying to get ratings now by putting hot chicks on the show?
Yeah, basically. Well, he had said earlier, I guess she's a
you
big
You
want to
bring her on the show?
You're the one who asked to.
I was going to bring her on after for a second.
Oh, after? Like, okay. Well, I don't know. It's up to you. If you think she can behave, you know her better
Olivia.
Than I do.
Why, is she a wild one? She's a real wild one.
Going to have a lot of fun. She's a wild one.
We've been married for 11 years. We have an 11-year-old and a 2-year-old together. So,
congrats.
We've been through hell together. So let me go grab her because this would make her fucking year, Sam. You're probably her favorite comedian. So
thank you.
Okay. Yeah, man.
All right. Well,
that makes two fans.
We'll wait for him to come back. All right, cool. Well, that guy had good taste. Sam's awesome. Jules is gay, and I do good work with OKC, so that's cool. I see a lot of people talking us up, saying Austin does great work. Research is a great way of piecing the puzzle together. You do. And then he says, Jose is a perfect compliment. Thank you.
Oh, I love that, dude. I just think it's like people need to understand what is really going on, what's their goals, and how to fight it. And that's why we do what we do. And I think there's just, you know, and also it's like this understanding is like you can't save anybody. Everyone's got to save themselves. And, you know, even God says not everyone's going to get in heaven. You can't teach anybody. There's this old saying like, oh, don't. My buddy was like, don't worry about waking up the sheep. Wake up the sleeping lions. I'm like, I'm not even going to wake up the sleeping lions.
Right.
Let them save themselves.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not saving anybody. Like I put the information out, and those who find it, let them find it.
What's up, lady? Can you hear us?
There she is. Look at you. Yeah. Look how symmetrical your face is.
Thank you.
Congratulations on winning the Miss Universe. Congratulations.
Hold on. I want to hear you better. Let me fix this. Can you make this tour louder? Joel's is helping me because I really wanted to come meet you, Sam.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
We need to make sure the setup's right before we have Sam Tripoli flirt with our producer's wife.
That's one thing I do not do. I do not do that.
No one wants to know what we call each other.
Oh, I fucked it up. Sorry.
Oh, well, thanks for joining us. Sam's anything you want to say to Sam? And then we'll end on you, probably, honestly.
How we should do it.
Chit chatting, right?
Yeah. That's how we should do it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you? I'm stoked to talk to you.
I'm stoked to talk to you. Isn't that weird? Like, I've had to work 30 years in comedy, and you're just hot, and now we're meeting at the same place, just excited to talk to each other.
Was it you that said something about being in college at, like, 1991?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't exist yet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's so hilarious.
You know, my brother works for one of the top international law firms on the planet, and I can tell you all the things about the crazy billionaires too.
Yeah, I mean, dude, when you get to that kind of money and people want that kind of access to that kind of money, the crazy shit you must get into. Like, dude, if my XRP just skyrockets and I become a crazy ass millionaire, it's gonna get weird, dude. It's gonna get really weird.
It's all really fucking weird.
It is weird. And it's like the question is why, what is real, what is not real. What is it's just what people are willing to do for money is kind of crazy.
The main thing he always tells me about is just how miserable the billionaires are. So it's good for everyone to know. If you think like, oh, if I had billions of dollars, I'd be really, really fulfilled. It's like, no, that's not going
to
give you
purpose. If I won the lottery, I would show up where you have to do that public like thing. I would show up in a Lucha Libre mask and nobody will ever know who I am. I would never tell anybody because everybody changes. Everybody, you know, it's like these basketball players. They can't meet anybody because everybody just wants to get pregnant by them so they can have child support for the rest of their life. Like, who is your friend? Sure. Who, you know, it's like nobody knows who you are.
Also, like, how is that good for your kid, dude?
Yeah. Like, how do you interact and show kids? It's just super interesting because like everything's karma. Maybe it isn't instant karmic to you. It could be your family and next generations. Like, did you slit throats to get to where you are? And like, did you ignore your children and they didn't get any love and any inspiration from you?
Consciousness continues to exist in some way, shape or form through your children.
Oh,
and
that
means that you actually reap what you sow. Is that totally how we reincarnate? If we reincarnate, I don't know.
Well, all right. I'm glad, Jules' wife, I'm glad we had you join. We are going to go ahead and cut it. Thanks for respecting Sam's time. I just knew Jules said you would get a kick out of it, so I figured have you.
Jules, you're the best. Thank you so much for coming on. You really classed up. Hey, I love that shirt you have on, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I love that shirt.
This is an OG shirt for anyone.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's the shit. That's an old school shirt. Because I was so I'm still shadow banned like a motherfucker.
Always, man. Yeah, dude. Nah, you were a pretty big influence on me starting Gray Pilled. I actually had Mark on Friday night. So, yeah, man.
Oh, that's great. Mark's great.
Yeah, man. And me and Thomas have a show together. And I know you and him do the Chaos Twin thing.
Who are you with? The Paranoid American?
Sound Science. Yeah, we
I love that dude together. He's great. We got our new comic book starting to come out, the Chaos Twins. That's due issue two's about to come out. So man, I love it. I love that whole Florida pocket of shady ass conspiracy theorists that I just love that whole group. And I love that there's so many people doing conspiracy podcasts, and I love that you guys do some really great deep dives. And I think it's really important, and that's why I love having all you guys on the show. And you guys should come on Tinfoil Hat sometime, and we'll have a really big discussion. You guys should jump on the Union of the Unwanted as well. That's a great way to connect with other.
Some of the Steiner stuff. I'd love to get
Sam. Real funny thing, because
why are you into the Steiner stuff?
Oh, I'm super deep when it comes to like the philosophical
stuff.
They
do have to get out of here in a minute.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
Jose,
she's gonna make you sleep on the couch. She's gonna make you sleep on the couch, dude.
All right, we'll see you guys. Bye bye. I'm kicking the producer. All right, guys, go check out Gray Pilled. That's where you can check out his podcast. I'm a big fan of his Elohim etymology stuff, covering all that type of stuff. Nephilim shit, that's what he's all about. But yeah, Sam, want to let people know if where they can find you at, if they're, for those who hang out in the conspiracy world and somehow don't know who the fuck you are.
It's just go samtribbley.com. My special has dropped all over the place. YouTube, it's finally on. And, you know, I'm going to give a shout out real quick to my friend Johnny Woodard, who went to war with YouTube, and he put a whole video out of it. Cause you know, it's like you put it on, people are like, oh, you aren't shadow banned. He literally showed the war he had to go with the people at YouTube acting like they weren't doing this shit. And right. He actually kind of helped me now, cause people can find my shit easier because they buried me so low that they couldn't even find it. So, you know, it did really well on Twitter. It's got almost 200,000 views on Twitter. It's got over 100,000 views on Rumble and samtribbley.com. And now YouTube. And the feedback has been great. I'm very thankful to everybody who's watched it. You know, and just life is good, dude. Life is good. And I love going on your guys' show. That's why I always do, you know, the all the people in the community's podcast. I try to get on as many as I can to help them. Get more exposure, because I love more people in, and I love giving people like you guys interview you guys on my show, because it helps get exposure for your guys' stuff. So thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, hell yeah, brother. We're very appreciative. Sam, but Austin, you want to let people know where yep. you're at? Sam, for sure, we appreciate you coming along, brother.
I think mainly first, I should say, honestly, just the gratitude that I have for the opportunity you gave me, Sam. And then beyond that, just like the level of encouragement, the inspiration, like you said, if you're willing, the law of abundance, like you've mentioned before, right? And that is something that, again, I admire so much. And it's something that I hope to adopt as often as I can, because all I want to do is, honestly, if it's negativity, I don't really even engage, because I think it's a waste of your time and it puts you in a dark place emotionally in many ways. And I think that it's much more worthwhile to spend your time focused on something that can better your life, whether it's, you know, the situation of you and your family, or whether it's just you're adding something new to the arsenal of your you know, newfound intellect. Right. The path itself, I feel as if I said this on Ramsey the other day, like we're all basically just disciples of Sam Tripoli at this point. So that's honestly how it feels.
Let's go, bro. My disciples, dude.
100%.
There we go. Dangerous retards, disciples. They're all out there. Tower gang. Let's go, bro.
Exactly, man.
Hell yeah, brother.
So, nothing but love for you, brother. And
well, thanks for having me on. World to me, man. I love you guys. You know, we're waking people up. People are saving themselves because nobody's come to save them. And that's how that's where we get to, dude. And now you guys are great, and love to do this again in the future.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, well, yeah, once schedule opens up, I'd love to be on back again.
All right, guys, just to plug my wares real quick, I have the No Way Jose podcast. We put this show out on both of our platforms. So my No Way Jose podcast, his Underclass podcast. We do Already Dead every Tuesday, usually at 9:30. So pop in for those. I've been doing morning streams lately as well. Usually around 10 in the morning. So pop in. I'll be doing one tomorrow. And then also my normal Already Dead I have on Friday. I have dropping Lena Ajit. She was on the show. So that's behind the paywall right now, if you would like to pay for it. But that'll be dropping. She is the assistant in the Long Island serial killer case, and she likes to dig into these sort of things. We didn't even talk about Long Island serial killer. We talked about other crazy child trafficking rings and, you know, tracking this and that down. But I highly recommend it. It was a great show. But yeah, if you want to support what I'm doing financially, you can do that over at patreon.com. It's just No Way Jose 2020. The lowest level is $2. The $2 gives you the early episodes, allows you to be the talking head like the guys you saw on the episode today, to talk to the guests or us on our Already Dead episodes. And like I said, it gives you the early stuff. The highest levels, my sponsors, I read them off every episode. I have my co-host on Tower Gang at Tower Gang Toad, at Abrogate D's, at Z-O-V-E-R-A-C-K, at underscore Infinite Zeal, and Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast. Follow him at Biblical Anarchy. Then Tim Tuttle at Jolly on Klebold, who actually went on Sam's show to talk about Sandy Hook, and I've had him on my show to talk about it multiple times. Then I have Will Bell, who has a delicious blueberry rabbit eye wine, and the big fan of the show, at Real Josh Elliott, who is one of the people just called in earlier today, and then also Torin May. So I appreciate you guys helping support me so I can do what I do. If you want to follow me at Tower Gang Jose, we will go ahead and get out of here. Appreciate everyone who showed up. Bye-bye.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.